Such a good spirit in here. You feel it? It's just exciting to be here today. I'm just so thankful. And yes, I found out last night that I was doing this. So God's faithful. So, you know, I believe that giving is part of our worship. And I really, really believe that at a deep level, at a really deep level. And yesterday I was reading, I believe it was in Chronicles, when they were getting ready to build Solomon's temple, and they had everybody bring all the gold and jewels and everything, wood, everything that they needed, that they were actually like taking up the giant offering to build the temple. And they kept giving and giving and giving till finally they had to go to Moses and say, hey, tell them to stop. We got way too much. We can't do it. I was thinking, where'd these people get all this stuff from? You know, but I forgot. They came out of Egypt with all Egypt's gold and all their silver and all their possessions. And it reminded me of the scripture that said that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And I believe that God at this time really wants our giving in so many ways, not just monetarily, but so many gifts that we have, the ways that we are gifted by God, because he's building something. He's building something right now, and he needs us to have a generous heart. So I want you to just to give what the Lord is telling you to give tonight, but I want you to give cheerfully. At Salt River, when we were there with Pastor Tony, we used to cheer when it was time to give. We'd get up and we'd shout and we'd praise and we'd cheer. It's a cheerful thing. So tonight, I want you, when we say our declaration tonight, I want you to say it with some enthusiasm, because it's a good thing. Amen? So let's say it together. Let's all stand. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, and blessing increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all our financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. So good. Yeah, and you can just go ahead and take that up. Yeah. So this is exciting. You know, for weeks, Drew's been saying, we're going to have this service, and God's given me the message, and it's shaking off the grave clothes of 2020. And I'm like, uh-huh. So here we are. We are still going to give that message, only it's going to be Mary Mann style. So, but I believe that we can do this, because I believe it's been in my heart, the same thing that's been on Drew's heart about this, and I believe that God's been speaking about it. So I just want to open, and we're going to read the story of Lazarus today. And it's in John 1. I'm going to turn over to that. We'll talk a little bit about this. And this is a story. It was John 11, I'm sorry. This is a story about a family in crisis. This is Mary and Martha, and they just lost their brother Lazarus. And these are really, really close friends of Jesus. He stayed at their house when he traveled. You know, it said he didn't have a home, no place to lay his head. But he found a place at their home that you could just settle down and be family and have a meal and have home and have a safe place. And he loved this family so much. And so open to John 11, verse 1. I'm just going to read this whole little story here. It says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, Lazarus' sickness will not, Lazarus, I mean, when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. It happened for the glory of God. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed there for the next 2 days. And then finally he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples said, Rabbi, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going to go back there again? And Jesus said, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have their light of the world. But at night, the danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our friend Lazarus is fallen asleep, but now I'll go and wake him. Now here are the disciples. They're kind of using Jesus' cover, like, but they were afraid. They were afraid to go to Judea. They really did not want to go to Judea themselves because they were afraid of being stoned. Things were being stirred up at that time. So the disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought that Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant that he was dead. I'm so sorry. I grabbed the wrong glasses today, and I can't see this. It's ridiculous. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you will really believe. Come now, let's go see him. So Jesus goes there, and he comforts. Oh, at this part I missed. I'm sorry. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go and die with Jesus. Okay, so he wasn't afraid. I loved his spirit. It was really like Joshua and Caleb. It was like he got up and he's like, okay, let's go. Everybody else is like, not so sure about this. But Thomas is saying, let's go right now. If I have to die, I'll have to die. So when they arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus was already dead. He had been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary at their loss. So, yeah, I loved what Jesus does because he's not need-led. He only does what the Father tells him. He's not moving out of a place of anything but rest. He's not moving because his friends and he knows how vital it is for Jesus to come that Mary and Martha would be thinking. And he knows, I'm sure he's having all these thoughts about how they're going to feel, but he's unwaveringly only doing what the Father tells him to do. And that's what we need to do, too, in times of crisis, that we need to move from a place of rest and not from a place of urgency and a place of need. That's really beautiful. You know, in that land back in that day, it said that he had been dead for 4 days. Now, Jesus raised the dead, Jairus' daughter, and who else was it? Somebody else. The widow's son. But they had not been in the grave for 4 days. This body is decomposing. In that climate, in that land at that time, they buried people just about right away because they would start decomposing very quickly. So traditionally, they had approximately 3 days of deep mourning and about 30 days of light mourning. So all these people that are coming here and they see Jesus coming to this place, they're probably imagining that he's coming here to mourn Lazarus' death. So I think it's really a point that they're trying to make, that Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. It was different. Something different was happening this time than what happened with the other two that were raised from the dead. So, let's see. Thank you so much. I'm going to need help, I can tell. So, when Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary. And when Martha got that Jesus was coming, she went down to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I will know that God will give you and whatever you ask. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. He said that out of his mouth. Your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises on the last day. And Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. And then she returned to Mary, and she called Mary aside from the mourners and said, the teacher is here and he wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. And Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. And when the people were at the house consoling Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed that she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. And when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. He was so moved. You know, I'm thinking about the crisis that our world has been in this past year in 2020. It's a crisis that's so different from anything I've ever experienced. I'm an old person, and I've never lived to see anything like this that affected the whole world. This is something very strange. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people praying, even in the beginning of COVID. There's a lot of prophecies going forth and a lot of questions like, why did this not change? And I'm sure there was lots of miracles that we heard of and lots of them we didn't hear of. But I don't think I thought that it would last as long as it did. I really did. And I don't think other people did too. But in my heart, after reading this passage, I think that God's up to something. And I think it's all about the glory of God. It's all about the glory of God. That God knows his timing. Like, we would want him to come in the crisis right now, and he has, but he hasn't stopped it. And I think that there's a reason why it hasn't been stopped. It's for the glory of God and for the glory of his church. So they said, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept, and the people were standing nearby, and they said, wow, see how much he loved him. I'm sorry, I put wow on there. I'm adding a jot or a tittle. I'm not going to do that again. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. Roll the stone. Now, I heard that this stone that they would use at this time was kind of like a big circle. It was like not a Ferris wheel, I forget, something like a wheel. And they could roll it like a wheel. They could roll the stone away. So he says, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he had been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Another translation that I read years ago said, Lord, he stinketh. And I'm telling you, I think that a lot of people think 2020 stinketh. You know, that there was a lot of things that happened that just caused us to have stuff on us. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think we weren't ourselves. Like, we had our moments for sure, you know. And I think it's affected the world. In some way, in a lot of ways, I'm sorry. So, but Jesus replied, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all the people standing here, that they would believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, and his hands and feet were bound in grave clothes, and his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. Wow. Wow. Shed the grave clothes. Unwrap him. He was alive. He was alive. But then he says, unwrap them, shed those grave clothes. And I really believe that we've been alive, but the Lord is wanting us to shed the grave clothes of 2020 because they stinketh. They stinketh. There's things that we have carried on us. This thing has caused us to back off. I don't know about you, but I feel like it's kind of tried to close my mouth and close me to back off. And the disciples, they were afraid of what was going on at the time. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to go back there. They were afraid. They're trying to talk Jesus out of going, oh, you know, they were trying to stone you. So they're backed off. But I feel like intimidation, fear has gotten over, anxiety has gotten over the body of Christ so that we don't want to go forth to do whatever God wants us to do at this time in the earth. So I feel like today God's saying, this is a new day. This is a new day. It's not 2020 anymore. It might feel like some of the remnants of it because we still hear of COVID happening, but it's a new day. And I think I know that. I know it in my own heart. I know it's a new day in my own spirit. I know that something shifted. I know that something shifted in this church. And I really believe that it's God is waiting for the right moment because it's for his glory to be revealed. Now, this story sounds strangely familiar, right? And just a couple pages over, now Jesus is going. Jesus knew that this was going to be the last time. He knew that if he did this, he was going to hear, because it says that right after he raised Lazarus from the dead, the leaders plotted his death. So he knew he was going to the cross to fulfill his destiny right after this happened. And so it didn't stop him. He knew what he had to do. So he went. So I really believe that God is saying that this is time for us to stand up. This is time for us to shed those grave clothes, the things that have gotten on us in the past year, the things that have affected our minds, anxiety, depression, really starting to, so many people believing in lack, like we're orphans. We're not orphans. We're not orphans. We're sons and daughters of the living God. And he came as the Son of Man to pay the price as the Son of Man to fulfill the Old Testament, to fulfill the law as Son of Man, because that covenant, the only way it could be stopped and a new covenant is death, the shedding of blood. So he fulfills the old covenant to end the law, and he sheds his blood so that a new covenant could be made with the Father. And the good news is that the other one was between God and man, and that's why there was always judgment. That's why there was so many things that happened that people had to work to get to God. They had to keep all the law, but the law showed them that they couldn't keep it all. Jesus comes with fulfilling the law, so now the covenant is with Jesus and the Father. And we are with him. Just what you read in Colossians today just touched me so much. That we are in him. That covenant is with the Father and Jesus. And with that, we can't mess it up. Man could mess it up before if he didn't obey the covenant. It could be messed up. But we cannot mess up that covenant anymore because we are with him. And I know that I know that I know that God's telling me that we have to move fully. We have to transition fully from the old covenant to the new covenant. Fully. Fully, and that comes by revelation. That's by having our mind renewed. This covenant is so big and so full that we can't comprehend because it's everything. It's his inheritance. Everything he has, it's us because we're his body. Everything he has is for us. That covenant is amazing, and yet we still walk around sometimes as orphans. Sometimes we walk around like we're in a daze, like we don't belong. We belong. We belong. We belong to a family. We belong to the family of God, and that inheritance belongs to us. So I know that God is saying it's time to rise up. It's time to step out of your grave clothes. It's time to shed the things of fear and anxiety and depression and unbelief. It's time to really believe and stand forth in our identity, who we are as sons of God. It's time to have the Holy Spirit renew our mind, renew our mind. It's time to let him love on us at this time so that we are so full of his love that we can give it to a lost and dying world, because there is a lost and dying world that's getting darker and darker and darker out there. But God loves those people. He loves them. And he died for us, and he died for them. And he wants us to be full, so full of the knowledge of the glory of God. The glory of God, that's he's trying to bring us to the knowledge, which is the experience of the glory of God. It's not a head knowledge. It's an experience with the glory of God. That's what's going to change our world. That's what's going to change our world. It is us carrying. It is the Feast of Tabernacles. We've gone through Pentecost. Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast that has not been fulfilled. But that's when the church is fully tabernacling. Fully tabernacling. We are fully representing him. The glory of God. And you know, somebody said, you know, Moses came down from the mountain and he was so full of the glory that they had to veil his face because they couldn't even look at it. That's the church, I believe, that is headed. That's where we're headed. If it was for Moses under the law and the old covenant, how much more is God's church going to radiate with his glory? How much more that people won't be able to look upon? We have to get out of this mindset that we're in and really understand who we are. So I just want us tonight to be encouraged how much God loves us, to be encouraged that it's a new day. I want us to shake off those grave clothes of depression and worry. And if you lost your job, if bad things happen to your family, and I know people who have lost loved ones during COVID, I'm not saying bad things haven't happened. They have happened. They have truly happened. God can take all of that. I look at all the floods that we've had, hurricanes, everything in this nation, 911. But so many stories came that what the enemy meant for bad, God worked for good. And I know in my heart that with all this that's going on right now, what the enemy meant for bad, God will work for good. And he's got a plan. And his plan is glory. His plan is glory. His plan is for us to be so filled with his glory. It is so in my heart. It is so in my heart to be filled with the glory of God. It is so in my heart to see this church even hungrier than what it has been. And we've seen things happen in the last 5-6 weeks here. I can taste it. There's a swirl going on. There's a swirl going on in here that God is doing something. And I know it's because your hunger is pulling on it. Your hunger is pulling on it. And hunger is the key. God always looks to the hungry. He always looks to the hungry. Do you want that? Do you want that? Do you want that visitation? Do you want the presence of God? Not just the anointing. Not just the anointing. The manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God. I've had this so in my heart. I've got to tell you, I'm a little wrecked today. Kind of surprised, but I can't even hardly say this because I'm so emotional, but my friend Phil Krauka and his wife were here today. Where'd they go? Oh, God, I couldn't see. I'm sorry. And it was a surprise. I didn't know they were coming. And in 1986, I had to move in Phil's house with his mom and his other three siblings and a whole bunch of dogs. And because his dad and my husband abandoned the families within 2 weeks of each other, and we had no place to go. And his mom had had heart failure. And I can't even believe I'm so emotional about this today. It was a long time ago. And so we had my three kids and her four kids, all these kids in one house, and it was chaos, let me tell you, and a bunch of dogs. Because she bred schnauzers so her kids could go to a Christian school. So always puppies. And so we were a mess. The kids were a mess. The dogs were territorial. The kids were territorial. Everybody's marking the territory. If I cooked the food, her kids didn't want to eat. Sorry, Phil. If she cooked the food in the beginning, anyway, my kids didn't want to eat. It was pretty awful. And there a lot of boys, a lot of fighting going on. a lot of wrestling, a lot of fighting going on. And so we couldn't take it hardly anymore. And so we'd put the kids to bed at night, and we'd turn on this Bible record, and it was just a record player with stories of the Bible over and over again. And her and I were so broken that we'd set the timer because we didn't even know how to pray anymore. And we'd set the timer, and we'd pray in tongues. And we'd pray in tongues for a while. Well, that went from a few minutes to we were praying in tongues for 4 or 5 hours sometimes into the middle of the night. We saw so many miracles. We saw so many miracles during that time. We should have wrote a book. Miracles. I mean miracles, real miracles. And during that time, God prepared us. He prepared us to be intercessors. And people would call from even the other side of the state because they heard about two women that would pray at night. One I remember was a little girl named Jessica that had leukemia. And they would call us and they'd say, she's not going to make it through the night. Barb and I would just pray. We'd find out the next day she made it. And this went on for several years. Like, we'd get a call in the middle of the night, pray for Jessica, we'd pray again. Now Jessica's married, cancer-free, has children, has a family. Those were the kind of miracles that we saw. It was so normal. It was so normal every day that we just thought it was our life. Did you ever see God move and it just seemed so natural that you didn't even give it enough? Because it just seemed so normal. And our life was normal miracles every single day. But I'm telling you, we learned how to be in the manifest presence of God. We learned how to praise. We learned how to worship. We prayed so much. And I know prayer is a big thing right now for this movement. We prayed so much that when we go to the grocery store together, his mom and I would get in the car, and the two girls were in car seats still. So the girls would get in the car seats, and Barb and I would start singing in the Spirit the second we got in the car, praying in tongues. These kids memorized our tongues. They grew up thinking that this is what you do when you go bye-bye in the car. You buckle up and you just hundle a shundle. They got it. And if we got loud, they got loud. If we got soft, they got soft. If we stopped and listened for the Lord, they would stop. It was training. It was training. And it was, I remember one day we were in the grocery store and Barb's standing over the cheese playing in tongues. I'm like, come here. It was just so coming out of us all the time. We prayed so much that we didn't even realize we're in public sometimes praying. I'm telling you, but God taught me so much during that time. He taught us so much, and my heart longs for a movement of prayer, a movement of prayer, a movement of prayers where we're seeing not just the anointing, but the manifest presence of God. Are you hungry for that? I'm hungry for that. I know you are. I know you are. I know you are. So, Father, today, we shake off those grave clothes of 2020. They are not ours. They stinketh, and we're not wearing anything that stinketh. No more. No more. No more depression. No more fear. No more anxiety. No more worry. No more lack. No more lack. No more lack. Because there is no lack in the kingdom. There is no lack in him. There is no lack in him. There's no sickness in him. There's no disease in him. He's not worried about a thing. So, Father, we shake it off. Lord, and we just have a new mindset today. Today is a new day. It's resurrection day. It's resurrection day. We are resurrected in him. We are in him. We are kings and priests in him. The same power that rose him from the dead dwells in us. We are a powerful people. We are a powerful people. We are not victims. We're not victims of our politics in this nation. We're not victims of COVID. We are more than conquerors. We are risen with him, and we're going to go forth in this hour clothed in his glory, clothed in his power, clothed in his purpose. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you today for what you did, Jesus. It was such a beautiful thing, and we thank you so much. We appreciate what you did. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is none like you. There is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Wow. Jesus. Wow. Yeah. Let's just worship him for a minute.
The name of Jesus, Jesus. We call on the name of the Lord. Peace, bringing all the peace. The storm surrounded me, let it break. Your name still.
You make the darkness tremble. You make the darkness tremble. You make the darkness tremble. We make the darkness tremble because that power lives in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Jesus, we stand up in who we are today. Just like Thomas would say, if I die, I die, but I'm going forth. That you give us courage. It's your courage that lives within us. Our courage comes to an end, but his courage is in us. We are a courageous people because he was a courageous Savior. So, Lord, we have nothing to fear today. We thank you. I thank you today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this people today. Yeah. If anybody has sickness in their body, pain in their body, I just want you to stand up for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Just point your hands towards them right now. Yeah. I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus to everybody. Pain go in the name of Jesus. Pain go in the name of Jesus. Infection go in the name of Jesus. Virus go in the name of Jesus. Everything bows to that name, the name of Jesus. Broken bones go in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. I thank you for strength coming in bodies right now. Strength coming in bodies. Arthritis, you go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price. It doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to us. We don't hold on to it. We're shedding sickness. We're shedding pain. We're shedding those grave clothes, and we're standing in your glory today. We give you praise. It doesn't matter what we feel. It doesn't matter what we feel. We receive right now in the name of Jesus. We receive right now. If you have pain in your body and you know that you could tell a difference if something happened, I want you to move, shake, just, you know, kind of try it out. Just see if there's anything different. right now? Anything different? Anybody feel any measure of relief right now? Yeah. It doesn't matter what we feel, though, right? Yeah. You got a word, Janelle. She's taking off her grave clothes. I'm going to take mine off, too. I'm really hot.
So I think it was yesterday, I went for a walk, and I asked God, like, what am I doing in my life? Because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I have two little kids, and my husband works, and I feel like I get up and do the same thing, like, every day. It's a little mundane. And God said, he said, how about if we make the ordinary extraordinary? And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome, right? And I really feel like that goes with what you said, Mary. You said something, and that's what I heard. We're going to make the ordinary extraordinary. And so does anybody else feel like their life is kind of ordinary right now, or it has been lately? Yeah. If you can relate to that, go ahead and stand up. Yeah, God. I thank you, God, that right now, those things that we have picked back up, that we have laid down 100 other times, but for some reason we picked them back up and we put them in our backpack and we've been carrying them around. Thank you right now that you reveal those things to us and we lay them back down at your feet, Lord. And we say, God, we surrender 110%. We surrender it all back to you, God. We surrender all of our dreams and our visions back to you. And we ask you, God, that you would make the ordinary extraordinary again, because you are the one who makes everything extraordinary. God, we thank you, God, that when we wash dishes, it would be an extraordinary experience. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Mary and for the foundation that she has laid. How many of you want what Mary paid for? How many of you want that? Yeah. Because that's what Jesus does, right? He pays the price and then he gives it to us. Mary, I want to pray in tongues and have everyone else blessed. I want all that stuff that you prayed for to be released to me. Yeah, can you release that to us?
I will release it to all of you that you want it. Get ready for the fire. Get ready for the fire. You're going to look silly. You're going to look silly. Just get ready. Just get ready. Father, I just release the fire of God right now. The passion for prayer. The passion to pray again. The passion to get before you. The passion to be in your presence, Father God. The passion to see your glory. To see your glory touch this earth. We just release it right now in the name of Jesus. Stir them up, Father God. Stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up. Yeah. Yeah, let's just pray in tongues for a minute. Yeah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise the living Lamb of God. 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 Oh, glory to the Most High God. Glory to the Most High God. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your glory, Jesus. Woo! Oh, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's new beginnings. That's what resurrection, that's what Easter reminds us every year. it's new beginnings. And now put feet to what we heard today. Do something. Join a prayer meeting. Join my prayer meeting. We pray before the service at 3:30. Pray at home before the services. Pray at home the night before church. Pray together, two of you together. Start praying. Start enjoying prayer. Start loving prayer. You will see how fun prayer is. Philip, is prayer fun? It's fun. It's fun. It really is fun. It's a good thing. So we're going to let Darius take this out today. Aren't you so thankful for him? Yeah, Darius, thank you so much. Yeah. You can just close us out of here, Darius. And everybody have a beautiful Easter tomorrow. And we just thank you for coming tonight. And just know that God's moving us together. It's the body of Christ. He's moving like a river, and we're going someplace. And it's someplace good. Amen? Amen.
Let's all sing this together. Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, sing it again. We call him, we call you Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your silence fear. Spirit, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence, God. Father, we thank you for never letting us down, but we thank you for defeating the grave so that ultimately we can live forever. Woo, Jesus. We are alive in him today.
Come on, that's a good time to rejoice. We are alive and here today. Cause he defeated the grave. We are alive in him today. The sound that they raised up when they were marched around the walls of Jericho. When he began to say, lift up a sound and the walls begin to fall down. Can we just begin to sing this sound together? Let's all sing. Hallelujah.